Good morning. Oh, y'all can do a little bit better than that. Good morning. There we go. We're glad to have you here with us today, as well as those from that are viewing our live stream. We're glad that you're here with us today to join us on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Sunday morning. Particularly those that are watching live. Again, we want you to check in with our student pastor, Dr. David Gant, who's over there working with our online community. So as you get a chance, say hello to him. If you have any questions that need to be answered, he'd be more than happy to answer your questions or any information that you may need. Dr. Gant will be sure to take care of you in that regard. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, once again, we come to you on a blessed day. Lord, this is truly is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, today I pray that you will help us as we reflect from your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and that you will truly get our attention. Help us to pause with all the things that are taking place around us to truly seek your will today. Lord, we know your Holy Spirit has a word for each of us, and we just pray that we will be attentive to that word today. Lord, where actions need to take place in our lives, we pray that we will heed the call of the Holy Spirit, that those actions may be accomplished. Father, we pray that if there's one that within the sound of my voice today who doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day that they would just give their life to you. So Lord, right now, we just pray in a very special way. You tell us where we're gathered together. You are there in the midst. May we be careful to listen to what you have to say. Bless each and everything that we do. May it honor and glorify you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wounds of his grace. right away. Hide away. Hide away. Hearts, do not despair. Hide away in the love of Jesus. For 10,000 joys await you there. Hide away in the love of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lynn. You know, as I was thinking about this past week was one of those remembrance kind of times. If you think about this past Friday, it was 19 years ago that everybody's life stood still for a while. It was 19 years ago this past Friday that for a short while, our country came together. It was 19 years ago that many lives were changed forever. And if you know what I'm talking about, you were talking about the September the 11th incident of terrorism, where the Twin Towers came down, where the plane that flew into the Pentagon, as well as that one that crashed out in Pennsylvania. And I can remember that day. I thought about that this past Friday as that day arrived again. And most of us can remember exactly where we were and exactly what was going on if you were old enough to remember those things. How many of y'all remember what was going on that day, you know, in your life personally? I know for me it was a situation. I was actually getting ready to leave to go to the office, and you know, Jana had called me, told me, you know, what was taking place. I turned the TV on and I didn't move pretty much for the rest of the day, just watching what actually took place. And you know, it happened, you know, so quickly, but I was actually watching live when that second plane hit that tower, and that's a day I will never forget. Whether those were people that you knew or not, it was something that changed our lives forever. And we remember those today or this past week. I hope that you took the time to remember those who were the first responders who went into those burning buildings. I hope that you remember those who lost their lives and the families of those who lost loved ones that day, that devastating event in our lives. And that's what I want us to talk a little bit about this morning in reference to the Lord's Word. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. You know, one of the things that you hear expression-wise many, many times is you've heard people say, life is short. And it is. But I don't think that we often have the concept of how short life really is, particularly when we compare it to the grand scheme of all eternity. Life is short. When we can find ourselves being so involved in what we're doing, we think that we've got all this time in the world. I've heard people talk about that. I've heard people talk about that when it comes down to the spiritual realm, when it comes down to salvation. They'll sit back and say, well, you know, I'll do that, but I want to wait till a little bit later. You know, I want to get a little bit older and I start to settle down a little bit. Then I'll think about the situation of following Jesus. And a lot of these folks never make it to that particular moment in their life when things slow down. Folks, I want us to understand that today the Lord does not promise us tomorrow. Look with me, if you would, at the scriptures concerning this in James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we pray that your word truly is sinking into our heart. Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand that today truly is the day that you have made, that you do want us to rejoice, that you want us to be glad in it. But Father, you have a will and a plan for our lives. Father, help us to truly evaluate our lives given the day that you have allowed us to have. Lord, for your servant, I pray that you and you alone would be heard today. Lord, I pray that where adjustments need to be made, that we will have the strength and the courage and your guidance to do exactly that. So Lord, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about the situation of 9/11, 2001, we think about what life must have been like for those. It must have been an ordinary day. There were people that day who got up and they went out to make their commute into their job place. They probably did the hurry-scurry deal. They may have been running late. They might have eaten breakfast or had the opportunity to enjoy the time with family and friends over breakfast. They may have thought about what was going to take place and what was going to be happening later on in their day. They may have been working on what their briefs were for the day and what they needed to accomplish for the day. And now, doesn't that sound like how your day and my day generally start off? You know, most of the time we get up and we're thinking, oh, I got to get here, I got to get there. You know, for the teachers, I got to get there before the bell rings. I've got to have my lesson plans. And we get all involved in what is taking place and what's going on. I'm sure that there were some of those that day who their day may not have been going that well. They may have had a little tiff with the husband or the wife, and you know, they went on out the door and they headed off to work, not knowing that they would never ever come home ever again. Now, I'm sure that this morning as you got up, you thought, well, you know, I'm going to get up, maybe have a little bite for breakfast, spend a little time with family, we'll go to church. You probably haven't thought about the fact that you may never come home today. This morning, I want us to pause for just a few moments, and I pray that it's part of who we are every day in our Lord and Savior, that we realize that God has given us today. When you got up this morning, did you thank the Lord for the fact that you were able to get out of bed, that your heart was still beating, that your feet hit the ground, and that your legs work, and that He still has purpose for your life? Because when the purpose for your life goes away, the Lord calls you home. Yeah, too many of us sit back and think about on down the road, or we sit back and say, well, the way this is going to progress is I'm going to get old and then I'm going to go home. Folks, we're not promised our next breath by our Lord and Savior. There were those on the morning of 9/11/2001 who lost their lives, who never ever thought that would be the last day that they would ever spend. So I want us to think about those folks today. I want us to think about those policemen and those firemen who went out and did their duty with honor and with integrity. And when everybody else was running away from the danger, they went into danger. I don't know about you, but over the last 19 years, I have heard stories of those that have been recorded that talk about maybe that last call to a loved one from high up on the towers of the World Trade Center, the calls that were made from the flight that had been hijacked, and in those moments that folks felt like they may not be coming home when they've called those loved ones, or they shared that particular story. And in spite of everything, they did everything they could to try to save other people. It wasn't a position or a point of selfishness at that particular point. So today, I want us to think back, if we hadn't, about those who lost their lives that day. But I also want us to think about those who were left behind. I want us today to remember those whose loved ones lost their lives, who they continue on with life, with an empty spot in their heart, with an empty spot at the table through many, many tears and through many, many sorrows, and as they've had to take on life by themselves, a situation they never thought they would be in. They felt like that evening their loved ones would come home, they would have dinner, they would patch up the argument, they would work towards whatever was going to be taking place, and yet they never, ever came back. It was the last time they ever saw them. Now, for most of us, we don't like to think in that term. We don't like to think about the fact that we may not make it home tonight. But I want you today for a few moments to think about that. I want you to think about that scripture where the Lord has told us that death is imminent. The Lord has told us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if that were to happen to you and I today, if you and I were to never make it home, if the Lord called us home right now, would we feel good about where we stand at this moment and at this time in our lives? Essentially, the question is, what if tomorrow never comes for you and I? Are we ready? You see, the Lord has been telling us this for some 2,000 years. The Lord sent His only Son that you and I might have a way of escape to be able to live eternal life with Him someday. And too many people are putting that on the back burner. Too many people sit back and say, well, I will worry about that tomorrow. Well, let me ask you, what if tomorrow never comes? What if this day, as the Word has told us in several of the parables of Christ, what if this day your soul should be required of you? If tomorrow never comes, what is it that you would want people to know about you? Well, let me tell you this. Tomorrow will never come for many people. There are people this day who have gone out thinking that life is just going to be normal. This is what my day is going to hold. This is what I'm planning for the work week. This is what I've got on the slate for Monday. And those plans will never be fulfilled. They will never come home because their life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away, just like yours and mine. I want you to think of that concept for just a moment. If you're sitting there and maybe you were preparing your meal today for the picnic and you had something on the stove or you had that teapot or that coffee was going and you see that little wisp of steam come up off of that coffee cup and then just for a moment in time it's there and then it dissipates. That's what our lives are like compared to all of eternity. When we think about it from the perspective of age, you know, see, here's the thing. We're never going to die. We die a physical death, but spiritually, we're never going to die. Whether you know the Lord or not, you're going to spend an eternity in one place or the other, that place called heaven or that place called hell, one or the other. Your body may die. Your soul will never die. What is your soul's eternal destination if tomorrow never comes? See, if tomorrow never comes, there are some things that I want people to know about me. You know, if tomorrow never comes, I want people to see me being found in Christ. Now, what does that mean to be found in Christ? I want people to know that I have dedicated my life to Him. I want people to know that I believe that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and was buried, was crucified, buried, and rose again to deliver me from sin. I want everyone to know that Roy walked with Jesus. That's what I want folks to know. That's what I have been saying. Not just because I'm a preacher, but that my life might emulate Jesus. That as I go through life, people could look and say, this is a man who wants to follow Jesus and wants to do it his will, his way. When people look at your life, is that what they see? Or do they see something completely different? There are people around you who know exactly who you are. Do they look at you and when you say, well, you know, when I go to church on Sunday, they go, yeah, okay. Hopefully it'll do you some good. Maybe it'll change your life. Maybe it'll get you to do something. Because deep down inside, they know you well enough to know how hypocritical you are when it comes down to those type things. Folks, it's time to stop being hypocritical. It's time to stand up and be counted. Why is it time to do that? Because tomorrow may never come. When people see your life, what is it that they see? See, if tomorrow never comes, yeah, I want to have served faithfully in the Lord's army. I want to be that guy who, when the Lord says, just like we read about in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 5 and 6, when Isaiah saw the vision, and the vision was that the Lord said, who will go for me? Yeah, I can just imagine Isaiah looking around and seeing, well, there's nobody else out there. Maybe this is meant towards me. But Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Are you willing to do that? When people look at you, do they count you as part of the Lord's army? That, and you sit back and say, well, what does that mean in our day and age? What are you doing to use your talent and your ability to serve the Lord in your life, in your workplace, through your church? You see, folks, it bothers me a little bit that in our day and age, you know, church has become a spectator event. Church has become about what's in it for me. I'm going to go down there, I'm going to sit, I'm going to listen, but don't ask me to teach a Sunday school class. Don't ask me to work with little kids. Don't ask me to work with adults. I just want to be able to come and go. I don't want to have any responsibility. Folks, that is not the way Jesus planned it out, plain and simple. Without God's people rising to the challenge, then the church is relegated down to your pastor is the only person who wins people to Jesus. And it saddens me that that's what today's society has become. It saddens me when God's people say that being godly is about the event of going to church rather than participating in God's plan for their life through His Word and being able to show that out. What happens when there aren't Sunday school teachers? What happens when there's nobody to work in the Awana program to reach little kids with the gospel message and, as their motto says, and train them to serve Him? It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It is my responsibility, and it is time for us to step up. How many times have we heard it? And if you've been out here and served on a nominating committee, you've probably heard it before. Well, brother or sister, we need some folks to work with our children. Well, let me think about it. I'll tell you tomorrow. Well, we need some folks to help here, and God's given you this talent and He's given you this ability. Well, let me pray about it. By the way, praying about it is okay. But let me tell you, I know about 90% of the things that you're asked, you really don't have to wrestle with it in that much prayer, because God's already told you what you need to do. Stop soft-shoeing it. Stand up and be counted. And when I say that, if tomorrow never comes, what will the Lord say about how you served Him in this day and age? How will you account for the abilities that He's given you? Are you using it for His honor, for His glory? Are you faithfully part of the Lord's army? Now, I know that as I get older, it's funny when you talk about some of the days of the past and having the opportunity to grow up in church, what a lot of people, they'll look at you like you got three heads sometimes. But I can still remember Vacation Bible School when I was little. How many of y'all remember the opening assembly? Everybody would come together and, you know, we would have like a little devotional time, but there was something else that we did. You know, we would do our pledges. Y'all remember the pledge? That's how we knew the pledge to the Christian flag, and of course the American flag. We pledged to that every morning at school. How many of y'all still did that? Remember did say the pledge every morning at school? Good. And then what would happen would be we would sing a song. We always sang a song to end the opening assembly. Y'all remember it? Does anybody remember what that song was? Because it seems to me like no matter where I've been across this world, everybody always sang the same song before we broke to go to class. Does anybody remember what it was? Remember, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry. We had the hand motions and everything. Shoot the artillery. Why? Because I'm in the Lord's army. Remember that song? I am not going to sing it for you, okay? You don't want that. But how many of y'all remember that? Come on, did you do that? Remember that? We sang that song. And part of the reason that we did was it was to help us understand that we were part of the army of the living God. Remember the time, the David and Goliath story. Remember how Israel would always run in that 40 days that they would come down and face each other. Israel would run away from Goliath. Why? Because they had forgotten who they were. And it took a little teenage boy to come up and remind them that they were part of the armies of the living God. Folks, that's you and I today. It's almost depressing to think about what the next generation of Christian is going to look like, if there's even one, because the next generation depends upon this generation doing what we need to do for our Lord and Savior. Where do you fit in? Well, preacher, I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day. What is it that God has put on your heart? What is it that you want people to remember about you if tomorrow never comes? Will they look and say, you are a faithful part of the Lord's army? You know what? I enjoy going on the mission trips. And sometimes I've actually had people say, well, what good does it do for you to go to another country? That don't help nothing right here in your church in Oak Ridge. No, but you know what? I'm not working for what's going on in Oak Ridge. I'm working for what's going on in the kingdom of heaven. And so should you be. That's what it's all about. Folks, if we don't step up and do our job, there will be no missionaries in the next generation. If we don't step up and do our job, our children are going to be wayward. If we're more about teaching them how to make money and how to succeed, then what we have done is we have just doomed them to an eternity in hell. And the other thing about that is they don't want us just to teach them. They want us to show them. They want us to live what we believe, to live what we're teaching them. And so many people sit back and say, well, I want them to be able to decide that on their own. Well, they're going to decide that on their own. But you and I need to be influencers for Jesus Christ. For crying out loud, it's time to get up off of our blessed assurance and stop being spectators and get involved with what it is that Jesus has got lined out for you to do as part of the kingdom. I've said this so many times. The nominating committee in churches around the world should be the easiest position in the world. That should be the easiest position. We shouldn't have to beg people to do stuff in their areas of talent or ability. And yet we do. Why? Well, I'm retired. I don't want to do. Is it real? Is it just that it's not that important to you? What if tomorrow never comes? What if this day your soul was required of you? What if this day you got the privilege to look straight into the eyes of a holy God with Jesus Christ, his Son, at his right hand? How would you answer for what he's led you to do? Now, I'm talking about believers there. Unbelievers, you've sealed your doom at that point. You'll be sentenced to an eternity in hell. But believers, God has an expectation of you and I to fulfill what he's called us to do. If tomorrow never comes, I certainly would want people to know that I served in the Lord's army. And I pray that I will hear when I get to see him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. I hear people all the time that sit back and say, well, you know what? They hurt my feelings. And I said this and people didn't like it. And they just don't appreciate what I do. Why are you doing what you do? Are you doing it for you, or are you doing it for the honor and glory of God? Let me tell you something. Do you realize that I am not the most popular person with a lot of people? There's a lot of people that don't like what I do. There's a lot of people that don't like how I do it. And you know what? Does that bother me? Yes, it does. Because I'm a softy. You know what it's like? How many of y'all have ever had your feelings hurt? Come on now. You've had your feelings hurt. And you're sitting at it and you're like, well, I ain't never going to do nothing down at that church ever again. They didn't appreciate it. They hurt my feelings, blah, 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 blah. Why are you doing what you're doing? I've had my feelings hurt a lot. And I've had my pity parties. And the Lord said, you done now. It's time for you to get up and it's time for you to move on. Because you're not doing it for people. You're doing it for me. And you keep on, boy. Don't worry about all this. You worry about this. You get that right. You keep that right. You see, if tomorrow never comes, I want my family and I want my friends to know how much I truly love and adore them. And I want to leave them an example to follow. It was Paul who said, "Follow my example. I followed the Messiah. Now you follow me as I follow the Messiah." That's what he's saying. Folks, are we leading our families? Are we leading our friends? Are we leading our loved ones in the direction of the Savior? Or are we leading them away from him? Folks, spirituality is not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday of your life thing. If tomorrow never comes, does your family know that you truly love them and care about them? If tomorrow never comes, will they look at your example and say, "That is an example of a godly person and it will change my life"? You know, I can honestly tell you that I have seen more people come to know Jesus Christ at funeral services than I have in most other places. You know why? Because at that point, they are faced with their own mortality. At that particular point, they look at the example, particularly if it's a good, godly example. They will look at the example of a loved one, and they'll sit back and say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing," and this is one that I like to use because I've heard it said on several occasions. They'll say, "Well, that guy right there, I know they have a front seat in the kingdom of heaven." Like there's a seating order in a chart. I know what they're saying when they say that. They've got a front seat in heaven. What they're saying is they lived their life for Jesus in such a manner that I saw it and that everybody else saw it. When people look at your life, do they see that you're a believer? If you really, really, really love your family, then you better do everything you can as long as God gives you breath to point them in the direction of Jesus Christ, to point them to salvation by grace through faith in him, to point them in the direction of living a godly life. Because here's the part that I want you to get today. Nothing else matters, period. When it all boils down to it, it doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. It doesn't matter how high on the corporate ladder you rise or your children rise. That ain't making it to the kingdom. I promise you. What's gonna matter is gonna be when you look the Lord in the eye and he says, "I gave you the wonderful talent and ability to be able to serve me and serve me through your church, through your family, through your workplace, and you squandered it on selfishness. You squandered it on you. Oh, but Lord, I love my children. I just want to see them make all kinds of money and be successful." If you want your children to be successful, then you better point them to Jesus, because outside of that, there's no such thing as success. Period. Doesn't happen. If tomorrow never comes, does your family know that you love them? Now, why do I say that? Because I don't know what's going on in your family, maybe not your immediate family, maybe down the road in your family, but you know, I've seen, and I'll tell you right now what happens. Most of the time, the death of a loved one will create more havoc and mayhem in families because they're too busy fighting about who gets what. You ever experienced that? "Well, I'm not talking to Aunt so-and-so. I ain't gonna use a real name. Somebody might send me a nasty email. I'm not talking to Aunt so-and-so because she got Grandma's bureau. I'm not talking to Uncle Harry anymore because he got that truck and I was supposed to get that truck." How many of y'all have seen people fight in a family over stuff like that? You've seen it. They will go at each other's throat. And some of it has continued on. It is time to stop that foolishness and stop that nonsense. Some of you today need to pick up a telephone and you need to call and make amends. Even if it means, and I know I'm just sitting there saying, you call them and tell them you're sorry. "Well, it's not my fault. Stop it. It's time to say, "Look, you know, no matter what the seriousness of this issue has caused us to be apart, it's caused us to not speak for years, sometimes maybe even decades, but I don't want to leave this world with that on my heart and with that on my conscience." So whoever's fault it was, if it's your fault, suck it up and say it's your fault. How about doing that for a change? That'll blow people's mind. Hey, look, you know, I've just been a mess. I'm sorry. I was a jerk for 25 years, and I don't want to go out being a jerk. So I want to apologize to you for what took place and what happened. And I want us to be family again. Could you do that? Can you make that call? You know, and a lot of you just sat back and said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know because it's just not right. I still, stop it. Some of you are sitting there, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. You may never have tomorrow. Don't put off until tomorrow what needs to be done today. If tomorrow never comes, will your family truly know how much you loved, adored, and cared for them? And that you've led them in the right direction, which is toward Jesus Christ. And have you left them a legacy and an example to follow as you go forward? If you died today, would your shoes be a hard set to fill? If tomorrow never comes, I want to have made a difference for good in this world. How about you? You know, we look at it today and, you know, we think about the tragedy of the September the 11th events that we just celebrated the 19th anniversary of. And I don't want to call it celebrated because it wasn't celebratory, but we remembered what took place 19 years ago. And then just like this, it changed, right? Now let's think back to March of this year. Just like this, things changed, didn't they? Just like that, many people lost jobs. Just like that, your church doesn't look like it used to. Just like that, your family doesn't look like it used to. Just like that. In a moment, the Word tells us this, that when the Lord calls us out of here, it will be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air, just like that. And folks, the stage is set for that to happen. We look at that like it's eons down the road. No, it could be before you shut your eyes tonight. If tomorrow never comes, will you have baggage as you stand in the presence of the Savior that you should have dealt with, that he led you to deal with? Have you left a good mark on the world? It breaks my heart to see the hatred, the animosity that is in our society today. We'd rather fight about something than come to a real solution. We've come to a society where if my opinion differs from yours, then we must hate each other is the philosophy. That's not the way it is. Man, we can be able to agree to disagree and still love one another. But folks, let me tell you what the problem is. That's crept into the church. You don't do it my way, I don't like you anymore. This doesn't get taken care of. Listen, I believe with all my heart, that's part of the reason why this pandemic has dismantled the church, because God doesn't like what it looks like. But just as it's been dismantled since March, he's going to build it back. But he's going to build it back his way. If tomorrow never comes in your life, have you made a difference for the good in your world? When people look around you, do they look at you and say, wow, that person right there really has made a difference? I've watched them in their walk. I've watched them in their talk. I've watched them serve. I've watched them give of themselves for somebody else. I've watched them take of what they had and give to those who didn't have. Wow, I want to be like them. I want to have the same heart, the same conscience. And I pray that today you will pray the prayer that we read of David in the Old Testament when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. It's time to stop with the foolishness, to stop with the nonsense, to stop with the things that so easily beset us. New Testament tells us to leave those weights, to leave those cares behind, because tomorrow may not come. You know, I don't know what the Lord's put on your heart in reference to these passages today, but the book of James chapter 4, particularly verses 13 and 14, tell us that you have right now, but you're not promised tomorrow. You've got a life to live. Live it now, because you may not have tomorrow. It's like old boy said, is there a song in your heart? Sing it now, because you may not have tomorrow. Do you have a gift that you need to give? Give it now, because tomorrow may never come. Do you have a prayer? Pray it now, because tomorrow may never come. Is there a sermon in your heart? Preach it now, because tomorrow may never come. Is there somebody sick that you need to visit? The Lord's put that on your heart. Visit them today, because tomorrow may never come. Why is it that tomorrow never comes? Because by the time tomorrow gets here, it's today, if it even gets here. So what will you do with what the Lord's put on your heart? What would be your desire if tomorrow never came? Would you wish that you had one more day to make it right with Jesus? Would you wish for one more day to be able to repent? Would you wish for one more day to mend some fences? Would you wish for more time so that you could do things the way you should have been doing them all along? Or would you be able to say, come, Lord Jesus, come now. Come now. I'm ready. Let's go. Why put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today? One of the greatest weapons in Satan's arsenal is delay. You don't need to do that right now. You can do that later. Don't worry about that. You know, you're going to, longevity is in your family. You're going to live to be 100 years old. You believe that? Verse 14 of James chapter 4 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If I could, with 100% certainty today, tell you that, well, at 10 o'clock tonight, the Lord is coming back. Now, particularly those of you here, those that are watching from home or watching from across the East Coast, around the United States, well, understand my heart when I say this. No man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will come. But if I could say that tonight at 10 o'clock, life as you know it is completely over. Here's what I want to ask you. Would you be doing anything different between now and 10 o'clock tonight? Would you repent of what the Lord had put on your heart that for years that you needed to repent of? Would you say, oh no, at 10 o'clock tonight, then I need to make sure that my salvation is right with Him. I need to make it right now. Because at 10 o'clock tonight, it's over. Would you make the telephone call that you need to make? Would you visit the person you need to visit? Would you reconcile with family? What would you do between now and 10 o'clock tonight? Now here's why I ask you that question. Because 10 o'clock tonight might be too late. I have known people, and you've been part of that conversation, when somebody comes up and tells you that did you hear the news? Uncle so-and-so died. What? Yeah, Uncle so-and-so died, had a massive heart attack and was gone just like that. Nothing they could do to save him. And you know what you usually say? I just had lunch with him yesterday. He looked fine. I saw him this morning driving down the road. I waved at him. But then the reality begins to set in. Folks, life is short. It is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short time. And if we knew definitively what the date was, we would wait until that date. But let me tell you something. The time and the day could be today. The time could be in the next moment. It could be before we get done with this service. 10 o'clock might be too late. So what do you need to do? What do you need to do to make it right if tomorrow never comes? I'm going to ask Lynn if she would come on up and take her place, because there are a couple of very serious questions that need to be answered in your heart and in your life this very day. If tomorrow never comes, if in the next moment, if you never left this facility, if you're here, if you never left in front of your computer or your television set, if you're watching Home Alive, if you don't have the next 5 minutes, here's my question. Will you stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior as one of His children? Will He be able to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will He look at you with disappointment and heartache and say, depart from me, I never knew you? Salvation's not about the checklist. Salvation's about the relationship between you and God through Jesus Christ. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can keep a ledger of check marks of good and bad. And even if your check marks on the good side of the ledger outweighed the bad, you still won't see the kingdom of heaven without Jesus. He said, I sent my son to Calvary's cross to die and resurrect that you might have eternal life. Would you do that? He's posing that question for everyone in the sound of my voice today. Would you do that? And you know what? Here's the ironic part. Some people are sitting there going, not today. I'll do that tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? Listen, if you need Jesus in your life right now to save your soul, now is the appointed time. Today is the day. Will you do that? If you need Jesus as your Savior, simply bow your head, say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I need you. I believe you died on the cross and resurrected again to cover my sins and to conquer death. Lord, I trust you. Come into my life. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, if you did that and you meant it with all of your heart, let me promise you that God has filled you with His Holy Spirit right now. He's giving you that peace. Now, He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to follow His word and His will. But you know what? When you fall in love with Jesus, that makes it a lot easier. If you've done that today, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, please let Dr. Gant know. Send him a message and say, hey, look, I just want you to know, I trusted Jesus today. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you have an opportunity to walk the walk and do it in a better way. We want to be part of the faith community together. We want you to take what God's given you to serve Him as part of a local church. Is that you today? Today may be the greatest victory, the most important thing in salvation. But what about the rest of us? You know, there's a lot of us in here, we have followed Jesus for a long time. Or we've said we've followed Him for a long time. But you know, when He looks at our life, when we sit back and we can fool ourselves, we can fool other people, but you cannot fool God. And when God looks at your life, what does He see? Does He look at your life and go, you're a poser. You're just acting. You're a hypocrite. That's hard to admit. See, we don't like to admit that. But you know, we've all been there at some point. The Lord has shown you today. And today, you know what he's saying to you? What if I don't give you tomorrow? Will you stand in my presence proud of who you are and what you are? I'm talking about believers here. Will he be able to look at you and say, well done? Or will he look at you and say, I gave you so much talent, so much ability, but all you did was foolishly squandered on worldly things that as you look around are not in your presence. What have you done to enhance and move forward the kingdom of heaven? Have you plugged into your church, or is that just take too much of your time to work with Awana, which is going to be starting up in a couple weeks? It's take too much of your time to teach a Sunday school class. Is it just too much out of the way for you to go on a mission trip? Does it cost too much money for you to do that? Folks, you better evaluate. You don't have to answer to me. But let me tell you what you're doing right now. You are answering to God Almighty because he's put it right up in your face. He says, my children don't act this way. My children don't hate the way you're hating. They're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to love one another. My children don't have broken relationships like I'm seeing in your life. There's a string of broken relationships behind you that you need to get fixed. Family's not even talking to one another. That's not part of the will of God. But you don't know how they hurt me. Doesn't matter. Be the bigger person. Step up and fix it. And guess when you need to fix it? Right now. Because tomorrow may never come. All I know is this. I'm not perfect. I've got faults. And I know that there's a lot of folks that would agree with that. But I want to go out having done my best, tried my hardest, apologized when I needed to apologize, fixed what I need to fix, love when it seems like the hardest thing in the world to do. There's an old athletic expression that says, leave it all on the field. I want to leave it all on the field. I have had great examples in my life, great examples here. When I go out, I want to go out like JC, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. When I go out, I want to go out like Roger, standing up proclaiming Jesus. When I go out, I want to go out like Pastor David, shoulder to the grindstone all the way. When I go out, I want to go out like Lynn, using her talents and abilities for all of God's glory. When you go out, how are you going to go out? Because you might just go out before the sun sets. Tomorrow may never come. Do what you need to do this very day. May we spend a moment in prayer with what God has put on our heart. As Lynn plays and you spend this time of commitment, seek his will. Let's pray.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you. turn our eyes to you.
As your heads are still bowed, as your eyes are still closed, think about that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Make it today. Do what you know you will be glad you've done when you stand in his presence. In just another moment in prayer, make it right with him.
Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Amen. God is good. And all the time, God really is good. Folks, I pray that today we will truly go out of here realizing that we're not promised tomorrow. I pray that over this past week that it's not just a thing that we do annually, but that we will remember all those who lost their lives on September the 11th, 2001. An ordinary day that turned extraordinary for many people. I pray that we will take the time to honor those who are first responders who run toward danger when we're running away from it. Our EMS, our police officers, our firefighters, those who head toward trouble that you and I might have an opportunity. How about pausing and thanking them for what they do in a society that is attacking them right now? May we be ones to shed the light of love in their hearts and their lives because we're reflecting it in our very own. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the blessing upon the offering. If you are here on campus, we have our offering receptacle back here at the door of the multi-purpose building. If you're outside, there is the offering box out there on the table. If you're over in our sanctuary, you can just place your offering there in the front. If you are viewing and you don't have a home church, please support us if you would. You can go to our website. Dr. Gant will have that listed in the comments of this particular stream, but it's www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. You can click on that, and we know God will bless your offering. We pray that God helps us as we take this time and effort to reach not only Oak Ridge, not only Guilford County, not only North Carolina, but the whole United States and around the world with the gospel message, and you will be a part of that. So we thank you in advance for what you'll do there, and we're going to ask God to bless each and every one for being faithful in our giving. And for those of us that are on campus that are going to take a little bit of time to have a little picnic, we brought each of our families brought a picnic that are going to hang around and just have an opportunity to fellowship, something that we haven't had a chance to do. And you know how us Baptists are, we like to eat. But we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to do that. We're going to social distance. We're going to wear the mask, but we're going to have an opportunity to share with each other. So if you're going to do that, hang around. We'll see if there's going to be any more instructions that we'll need to give you after we go off of our live stream. I do want to remind you of this. Awana is going to be starting up October the 4th. Now, if you're here and you haven't had a chance to see it, or if you're part of our viewing audience, go to our Facebook pages, both our group as well as our public page. There are going to be two different videos that you'll see Commander Tony. Commander Tony's telling you about when Awana's going to start, how things are lined up, safety precautions. There is a second video that looks a lot like the first. So just understand there's two of them, where Commander Tony does a Q&A, question and answers, of frequently asked questions as we begin back with Awana on October the 4th. So be sure to go view that. If you have any questions, you can always email them. And I believe, let me see if this is right, Lynn, awana@oakridgecbc.org. And you can ask Commander Tony any questions there. And we look forward to having the opportunity to safely see our kids again coming up soon and safely have the opportunity to worship together with them and to be around God's Word. We're excited about that. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this moment. Lord, for the opportunity that you gave us to even experience your love, your mercy, and your grace this day. Help us to understand that today truly has been a gift and that we're not promised tomorrow. May we take care of the things that you have convicted our heart with this very day. Lord, I ask that you just help us to be more in line with what you want us to be as an individual believer, but Lord, also corporately as a church. May we be instruments in your hand to a lost and dying world. Father, bless us. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy as we go about your business. Father, for those that will stay around on campus, that will fellowship and picnic together, we pray your blessing upon the food and their fellowship, for the offering that's about to be collected. Lord, I pray that you will just take it and multiply it, that your kingdom would be enhanced because of the obedience of your children to give back that portion that they have so richly been blessed with. So, Father, do what only you can do. We trust you, we honor you, we love you. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you in a little bit.